Weekly jobless claims fall, but not by much.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson, in for Steve Chiatakis. The Labor Department says the number of Americans seeking unemployment benefits for the first time fell last week to 460,000. Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial, says that number is higher than it should be, given that employment is starting to pick up.
And that's because people are reapplying for continuations to their unemployment insurance. And there is some evidence that some people are actually holding back and not accepting a lower paying job and instead staying on unemployment insurance in hopes that they'll get a better job down the road.
On Wall Street, investors are pushing those jobless claims numbers aside and focusing instead on reassuring news from China. The Chinese are denying a report that they're rethinking their investments in European debt. With that reassurance, stocks are higher. The Dow is up 196 points at 10,170. NASDAQ up about 2.5%. The S&P 500 up about 2.25% at this hour. Shares in Europe are up about 3%, and oil is back above $73 a barrel. While we're on the subject, by the way, BP is continuing its Topkill operation to plug the leaking well in the Gulf of Mexico. The company won't say whether it has succeeded. Earlier, there was a report saying Topkill had blocked the leak. A BP spokesman says operations continue. The mega airline merger between Continental and United is in a holding pattern until regulators sign off. And to that end, those companies' CEOs are in Washington today. They're testifying right now before a Senate committee about the deal, as Brett Neely reports.
One question senators will have is whether the merger will drive ticket prices even higher. Continental and United say they won't, because the merged airline still won't be big enough to control fares. But Alan Michael at Boston University says the new carrier will have an enormous amount of clout at key airports nationwide.
The merger is going to probably create an increased tendency to raise prices.
Most industry analysts expect even more mergers as the remaining big airlines respond to the new Continental-United behemoth. Hubert Horan is a longtime industry consultant. He says history shows that consolidation doesn't improve service or prices, but it has given the remaining airlines more control over lucrative routes.
You have just created two big to fail airlines that now have huge political influence.
Horan says despite all the concerns about prices and competition, he doubts any senators will stand in the way of the merger. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Donald Trump has found himself in a real estate row yet again. This time, the issue is a championship golf club he's trying to build in Scotland. Three property owners there are refusing to sell land that's an essential part of his development. From Aberdeen, Scotland, the BBC's Stephen Duff reports for Marketplace.
For 5 years, Donald Trump has been trying to build on sand dunes on Scotland's northeast coast.
I think it will top any golf course anywhere in the world.
But campaign group Tripping Up Trump has bought a piece of land right in the middle of the development, and it's refusing to sell. Trump claims the project is still on track and has caused a bit of a stir in Scotland by criticising the property owners.
In the United States, we call it a slum. His property is a pigsty. It's terrible.
Michael Forbes is one of the rebel homeowners.
So he's over miscalling me again, is he? Throwing more tantrums. Childish.
Do you have any?
Is that a way to do business?
The protesters want hundreds of people to become co-owners of the land, which would create a legal headache for the Trump organisation and the local government if they force them to sell. In Aberdeen, I'm the BBC's Stephen Duff reporting for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
There are a lot of villains in this recession. Bankers, predatory lenders, Bernie Madoff. Well, tomorrow we can forget all those complicated villains and just focus on the brain-eating dead. It's the release of George Romero's latest zombie thriller, Survival of the Dead. And zombie lover Jim Kendrick, who's an assistant professor of film at Baylor University, joins us now. Mr. Kendrick, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, how unusual is a big zombie movie like Survival of the Dead?
As far as size goes, you know, zombie movies have not tended to be big mainstream films. In the history of zombie movies, they generally tend to be more smaller budget. You don't need a whole lot of special effects.
Is there something about a horror or a zombie movie that that people are drawn to in times like this because maybe there's an easy to identify villain?
In some ways, yes. Interestingly. Because zombies are fairly unchanging, mm-hmm. and in a lot of ways they're really not very interesting, a lot of zombie movies have actually been more interesting on a kind of metaphorical level. What are they telling us about the times we're living in? And George A. Romero's zombie movies have been particularly interesting in that realm since the first one that he made, Night of the Living Dead, came out in 1968. You know, which was the height of the 60s and all of the social turbulence and the civil rights era, Vietnam and all of that. And the movie was very much a reflection of that. I'm guessing that Survival of the Dead may be along those lines as well.
You know, all of us living people are trying to get through these very difficult recessionary times. Do you think a zombie would do better
during the recession?
Yeah. Are they good with money?
That's the beauty of being a zombie is economics are completely irrelevant. All they need is to eat people.
All right. Well, Jim Kendrick, assistant professor of film at Baylor University and zombie expert, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And finally, get used to the name Grayson Chance. That's the 12-year-old boy from Oklahoma who became a YouTube sensation 2 weeks ago after posting his performance of Lady Gaga's hit song Paparazzi. He now has a record deal, courtesy of talk show host Ellen DeGeneres, who's starting her own record label. He's also snagged two managers. One handles Madonna, the other handles Lady Gaga. Not bad for week two. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.